Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases, 152. Ector County negative, 2,099. Out of 2,370 tested, with 119 pending, 5 deaths. Midland County, 125 confirmed, 12 deaths. Texas, 57,921 confirmed, with 961,861 tested. Total Texas deaths, 1,562. U.S. cases, 1,678,843 total confirmed, and 99,031 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Performance. Scratch Kitchen, 2701 JBS Parkway, has scheduled Los Crazy Guys starting at 7 p.m. Friday. Call 652-2702 or visit tinyurl.com/YCQSVKFS. Jammin' Under the West Texas Stars. Corky's Bar and Grill, 6705 Andrews Highway, has scheduled Jammin' Under the West Texas Stars featuring the Barkin' Spiders and Catch 22 starting at 8 p.m. Saturday. Call 362-3232 or visit tinyurl.com/YBL7H3GL. Gun and Blade Show. The Silver Spur Gun and Blade Show has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. June 27th and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. June 28th at the Midland County Horseshoe, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Admission is $7 for adults and free for 12 and under. $1 off NRA/TSRA or military with ID. All law enforcement get in free with their badge. Only one discount/special can be used at a time. 2-day pass is $12. Visit tinyurl.com/YC2MMG4Z. Wear a mask, no bull. A statue of a longhorn in downtown Odessa wears a mask on Tuesday afternoon as part of a public reminder for people to wear a face mask while out in public. Scott and Lisa Anderson were the creators of the mask, and they outfitted other statues around Odessa with face masks, including some of Odessa's many jackrabbit statues. The 10-foot-tall longhorn resides across the street from the courthouse and was unveiled 10 years ago. The statue was created by artist Joe Barrington, donated by SF Sonny Henderson, and was sponsored by the Heritage of Odessa Foundation. Odessan Richard Gillum helped bring the artwork to fruition. At the time of the statue's unveiling, Henderson said it will serve as a reminder of the past. Photos by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Overeaters Anonymous. Overeaters Anonymous, a 12-step support group, has scheduled Zoom meetings from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mondays and 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursdays at oa.org. The meetings are free and open to the public. For more information, call 553-1031. From staff reports. Closing prices. Posted, $29.25. Futures, $32.81. Natural gas, $1.722. Benchmark U.S. fell $1.54 to $32.81 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Ector County COVID-19 numbers. OA News at OAOA.com. An Ector County Health Department news release detailed that there are 42 active COVID-19 cases in Ector County as of Wednesday afternoon. Out of 2,370 tests, 152 Ector County residents have tested positive for the virus and 105 have recovered. 5 Ector County residents have died from coronavirus-related conditions. Out of 366 calls to the Ector County drive-through testing at the Ector County Coliseum, 171 have been tested, 13 have tested positive, 16 are pending, and 142 have been negative. The average number of contacts per positive case is 12 people, and the average age of positive cases is 31 to 40 years old, the press release detailed. Medical Center Hospital reported no new positive cases on Wednesday. They reported having 6 COVID-19 patients in the hospital, 4 are in the CCU, 2 of whom are on ventilators, and 2 others are on a different COVID-19 designated floor. On Tuesday, Crane County reported that 2 residents died after testing positive for COVID-19 at the Focused Care at Crane Nursing Home facility, and 1 resident was reportedly being transferred to Odessa Regional Medical Center. On May 22nd, an Odessa fire rescue testing revealed 16 residents and 5 employees had tested positive at Focused Care at Crane. A Focused Care representative reported Wednesday via text that 7 COVID-19 positive residents are now at ORMC and 7 other residents are being cared for in isolation at the facility. 1 additional positive was revealed from pending employee tests. A total of 7 positive Crane staff members are now quarantining at home. 2 contract therapists reportedly tested positive, including the one revealed last week. Crane County Judge Roy Hodges did not return phone calls Tuesday or Wednesday regarding the Crane Nursing Home. An Ector County virtual COVID-19 hospital briefing will be held at 3 p.m. today via MCH's Facebook. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 28th, 2020. Local news roundup. Man charged with pointing handgun at common law wife. A 35-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly assaulted his girlfriend and pointed a handgun at her. German Panergo was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony. The reported assault happened at 10:14 p.m. Monday in the 2700 block of Brentwood Drive, an Odessa Police Department affidavit stated. The victim, who was identified as Raquel Flores, reportedly told officers that her common-law husband, Panergo, assaulted and pointed a silver handgun at her. Flores stated that Panergo became agitated out of nowhere. Flores stated that Panergo wanted her cell phone because he pays for it. Flores stated she had a cell phone in her bra and refused to give her cell phone to him. Panergo reached for Flores' cell phone in her bra by grabbing her from behind with his arm reaching over her into her bra. Flores reportedly told officers that when Panergo reached over her, she bit his left arm twice because he wouldn't let go of her. The affidavit detailed that Flores had a scratch on her chest, which was consistent with her story, as well as the bite marks on Panergo's left arm. Flores stated that Panergo pointed a gun at her, and she stated it was silver and gray, the affidavit stated. Panergo gave officers consent to go inside his residence and look at the weapon. The weapon Flores described was consistent with the weapon that was seen on a dresser on the west side of the bedroom, where Flores stated the incident took place. Panergo reportedly admitted he was in possession of the weapon at one point and stated he placed the gun on the dresser. Panergo was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He has one bond totaling $20,000 and was still in custody as of Wednesday morning, jail records show. Woman charged with pointing gun at sister. An Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed that a 30-year-old woman pointed a .22-caliber rifle at her sister. Rabbi Irene Means was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, and possession of marijuana, a Class B misdemeanor. The reported assault happened around 7:28 p.m. Tuesday in the 900 block of West 4th Street, an OPD affidavit detailed. Officers reportedly responded to the area after dispatch received a call Means had pointed a gun at her sister. Means was found inside the RV, and she was uncooperative and reported that she was involved in an argument with her sister, Jeanette Gandara, over her daughter taking a shower at her residence. Gandara arrived at the scene, and she stated she approached Means to ask for permission for her niece to shower at her place, the affidavit stated. Gandara stated Means got angry and began to argue with her. Gandara stated Means told her she was going to kick her face in. Gandara reportedly told officers that Means entered her bedroom and exited with a .22-caliber Remington Model 597 VTR rifle. Gandara stated Means aimed the gun at her and pulled the trigger. Gandara stated the gun appeared to malfunction and saw Means attempting to fix it. Gandara stated Means fixed the gun and shot the gun toward the front of the RV. Gandara stated she was in fear of serious bodily injury, the affidavit detailed. Gandara provided a video of the incident, which shows Means discharging the weapon. Means was reportedly transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center, where she stated she was in possession of marijuana, which was concealed in the left side of her bra. The marijuana weighed 0.22 ounces. Means has two bonds totaling $25,500 and was still in custody as of Wednesday afternoon, jail records show. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 28th, 2020, local and state. OC Board approves Strong Start Program, OANews at OAOA.com. The Odessa College Board of Trustees approved a new incentive program for students called Strong Start during a virtual meeting Tuesday. Vice President of Student Services Kim McKay said OC has had a history of Strong Start programs. It is important for all students to understand what their financial obligations are when they attend college. And McKay said it is easier than before. With Strong Start, the first two classes will be free if they register by July 31st. After that, the first class is free. For more information, call OC at 335-6400. Last year, OC welcomed about 1,000 first-time college students, 44% of which were from Ector County ISD, McKay's presentation showed. This year, there are just over 1,300 grads. McKay said if OC can get 44% of them enrolled they will have a strong start. To date, out of that class, an estimated 800 students have prior dual credit. McKay said 425 applied to OC institution, but have not registered. 342 have been awarded Pell Grants, but have not registered, and 41 have been tested, but not registered. These are the students we will focus on to bring into the admissions funnel to matriculate to entering freshmen, McKay said. The value of first two classes free is $570, with the tuition and fee increase approved in February. The average tuition and fees for one semester at OC is $1,258 for 12 semester credit hours. In other business, the board reorganized, keeping the same officers in place. The chairman is Tommy Clark, vice chairman is Gary Johnson, secretary is Larry Johnson, and assistant secretary is Bruce Shearer. Vice President for Institutional Effectiveness Don Wood reviewed enrollment numbers. Enrollment for fall was 6,825 unduplicated students, and spring was 6,074, which was the first time OC had gone over 6,000, Wood said. Total unduplicated enrollment was 8,158, which Wood said is the first time it has been over 8,000. The fall drop rate was 3.7%, and the spring drop rate was 3.8%. Wood said the data for spring 2020 is incomplete because so many courses are still going on, but he said the early results look good. He said he expects the success rate for spring 2020 to be above 80%. Wood said this will be the sixth year in a row the college has been above 80% in its success rate. The board also heard the Employee Excellence Award winners and the Department of the Year winner. The Employee of the Year is Christine Williams, Director of Community Recreation, and the Department winner was Marketing and Media Relations. A drive-thru ceremony was conducted in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. Trustees also approved Ashley Warren as executive assistant to Gregory Williams, president of OC. Warren had been director of financial aid. City Council approves facade grant by Michael Merlo, MMERLO at OAOA.com. Council members passed multiple items during a Tuesday virtual City Council meeting, including a $25,000 facade grant for a new business on Grant Avenue. Executive Director of Downtown Incorporated, LaWanna Lambert, said that Carla Flores, the owner of the building at 513 North Grant Avenue, projects that the facade will take a year to finish. She plans to rent the building to a tenant who has already submitted their bar and restaurant businesses plan. Flores and her husband purchased this property, and they do desire to be an active part in the revitalization, and their first step in this effort is through the enhancement of this building's facade, Lambert said. Council passed the facade grant unanimously, which was previously passed by the Odessa Development Corporation. Council also denied a request by Encore to increase their rates to local customers. Assistant City Manager Philip Urrutia presented the item to Council and said, "This would be Encore's third filing under a law adopted in 2011 that allows electric utilities to file increases. Encore is reportedly looking to increase their rates by approximately $75.8 million annually, and Urrutia said the City Council will hire Lloyd Gosselink, Rochelle, and Townsend, PC, to review the filing and negotiate. Council also approved the purchase of a new roll-off truck for solid waste for $199,593. Consent agenda. Accepted grant funding from Walmart Community Grants Team and Facility No. 537, and appropriating the funds to Odessa Fire Rescue. Authorized the city to apply for and accept a federal government grant, $80,800, to provide partial payment for bulletproof vests, committing to a cash match, appropriating awarded grant funds, and authorizing expenditure of awarded grant funds. Rejected bids for dry-type transformers. Resolution. Approved a resolution of support urging the Texas Department of Transportation to include all routes as part of its study of the extension of I-27, ports to plains. In particular, the areas considered in the original analysis of the Lubbock to I-10 study conducted from 1993 to 1997. The economic impact and population growth of the areas in Odessa Midland is significant and should be a leading consideration of any study. Opinion. Texas View. Nursing home outbreaks show safety measures need review. The Point. Officials need to review the problems that were exposed by this pandemic. As in many other parts of the country, Rio Grande Valley nursing homes have been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. The prevalence of illness there shows a clear need to review and restructure measures to ensure the safety of some of our most vulnerable Americans. Dozens of residents at local nursing homes have contracted the virus, and a large number of local deaths to the disease are concentrated there. It reflects a nationwide trend. More than 40% of all U.S. COVID-19 fatalities have occurred at nursing homes, although only 0.6% of the nation's population lives there. Analysts warn that the actual numbers might be even higher, as many nursing homes and many states don't report health problems at those facilities. Many of those that do only report deaths that occur at the facilities. If a resident was taken to a hospital and died there, the nursing home might not include that death in its reports. Clearly, something must be done. That need goes beyond addressing the current plague of viral cases. The federal government has targeted nursing homes for increased testing and other procedures. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has mobilized the Texas National Guard to clean and disinfect nursing homes across the state. Outbreaks of disease can occur anywhere people spend large amounts of time in closed atmospheres. Schools, jails, even airplanes and buses. And indeed, elevated rates of illness, most often simple colds, flu, and stomach viruses, are reported in such environments. Surely some people are asking how such things can happen at nursing homes, which promise around-the-clock vigilance and medical attention. The truth is that nursing homes are businesses like any other and face pressure to keep costs down and residency rates competitive. Most meet state minimums for staffing that might be fine under normal conditions, but can easily be overwhelmed by an extraordinary situation, such as a major viral outbreak. Many facilities have only one RN who is on site only during the 40-hour work week. This means the people who most often deal directly with residents have a lower level of training and experience, as well as lower levels of authority and decision-making ability at times of crisis. Complacency can be another factor. When nothing goes wrong for a long time, people become less vigilant. The Government Accountability Office reports that 40% of nursing homes inspected over the past 2 years were cited for problems with disease prevention and control. The problems ranged from workers and residents not washing their hands every time they should, to a failure to isolate sick residents from the rest of the population. Most nursing home residents are there because they are already in fragile health and need more attention than they or their families can provide. No one should fear that the decision might lead to a preventable tragedy. We hope we never face another medical crisis of this magnitude, but officials still need to review the problems that were created or exposed by this pandemic. States and Congress members should impanel review boards to assess the problems and recommend protocols that can improve performance and reduce the chance of similar outbreaks in the future. The Brownsville Herald. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for May 28, 2020. Obituary. R.E. Mason, Crane. Tuesday, May 26, 2020, R.E. Mason, loving father and pawpaw, passed away at the age of 86. R.E. was born September 18, 1933, in Sanderson, Texas, to Roy Elmer and Lydia Mae Mason. He is preceded in death by his parents, Roy Elmer and Lydia Mae Mason, his wife, Evelyn Elizabeth Mason, and sister, Barbara Fly. He is survived by his two sons, Jeff Mason and his wife, Penny, of Midland, and Bobby Mason and wife, Annette, of Andrews, and a daughter, Becky Haynes, and husband, Johnny, of Victoria. He also will be missed by his grandsons, Jeremy Mason, Brent Mason, Brian Mason, and John Ryan Haynes. He is survived by brother-in-law Ken Harris and wife Jean of Fort Worth, two nieces, Patty Hedges and husband Steve of Lorena, and Vicki Lauterbach of Crane, and numerous nieces and nephews. The family has requested the funeral services to be private. Arrangements are under the care and direction of Schaefer Nichols Funeral Home of Crane. Death notices. Ramon H. Galindo, Odessa. Ramon H. Galindo, 75, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 26, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Friday, May 29, 2020, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery in Odessa 2 section. Father Tony Franco is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Rodolfo Vitella Gonzalez, Odessa. Rodolfo Vitella Gonzalez, 81, of Odessa, died Saturday, May 23, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, May 29, 2020, at Acres West 24-hour chapel. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. on Thursday evening, May 28, 2020. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Ascension Hernandez, Odessa. Ascension Hernandez, 71, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 26, 2020, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Julia Hernandez Hill, Odessa. Julia Hernandez Hill, 92, of Odessa, died Friday, May 22, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. privately for the family on Thursday, May 28, 2020, at St. Anthony Catholic Church. Burial will follow at the Rose Hill section of Ector County Cemetery. Father Frank Chavez is officiating. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. John Lerod, Odessa. John Lerod, 55, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 24th, 2020, in Odessa. Lerod is spelled L-I-R-A-D. Celebration of life is scheduled for 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, May 30th, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Louise D. Page, Odessa. Louise D. Page, 93, of Odessa, died Monday, May 25th, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, May 29th, 2020, at Hamlin, Texas. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson Funeral Home of Odessa. Anadina M. Montoya Ramos, Odessa. Anadina M. Montoya Ramos, 92, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 24th, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m. May 28th, 2020, at Kermit Cemetery. Haley Contreras is officiating. Arrangements are by Family Services Funeral Parlor of Kermit. Ivy Lee Green, Midland. Ivy Lee Green, 68, of Midland, died Wednesday, May 27th, 2020, in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, May 28, 2020. Junior League donates $10,000 to Education Foundation. Junior League of Midland has donated $10,000 to Midland Education Foundation to help supply Wi-Fi hotspots to Midland ISD students for remote learning during the pandemic, according to a press release from the nonprofit. When schools were closed, MISD checked out more than 3,500 technology devices, such as Chromebooks, for students to access Google Classroom. Wi-Fi buses were deployed to 6 distribution locations in the county to support Wi-Fi access. Vet Center to host blood drive. Midland Vet Center is partnering with Vitalant to host a blood drive 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday at 4400 North Midland Drive, Suite 540. Potential donors can make an appointment at www.vitalant.org or by calling 697-8222. This is part of a nationwide effort by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to respond to the ongoing need for blood during the coronavirus pandemic, according to a press release from the center. MISD serves summer meals. Midland ISD summer meal schedule is in effect. Breakfast and lunch meals will be available for grab and go 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at 11 locations, according to a press release from the district. Meals are available for any child 18 or under or those who receive services from school. The locations are Bonham, Bowie, Bunch, Burnett, Dizavala, Rusk, Santa Rita, South, and Yarbrough Elementary Schools, Fire Station No. 4, and Twin Oaks Mobile Home Park. MISD has served more than 405,000 meals during the COVID-19-related closure of schools, Victoria Beck, Director of Child Nutrition Services, said. Daily menus are available at MidlandISD.net under Child Nutrition Services. Big Bend is reopening Monday. Big Bend National Park will be open for day use beginning 9 a.m. Monday, according to a press release from the U.S. National Park Service. Visitors will be able to use paved park roads for scenic driving and bicycling, selected trails for day hiking, Rio Grande day float trips from paved road access points, Panther Junction gas station and camp store, Chisos Mountains Lodge restaurant for takeout meals, Fossil Discovery exhibit, and restroom facilities. For more information, visit bit.ly/2ZGREXG and social media channels. Grocery store hours during coronavirus. Albertsons Market, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., 1002 Andrews Highway. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday, 3317 North Midland Drive. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday. HEB, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Customers 60 plus. Orders can be called in 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 833-397-0080. Groceries will be delivered by Favor Delivery. For more information, go to newsroom.heb.com. Market Street, 6 a.m. to midnight. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Walmart, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. 7 to 8 a.m. curbside delivery pickup for first responders and customers 60-plus with disabilities or at risk. Today in Midland history. In 1978, Al Unser drove Midlander Jim Hall's car to victory at the Indianapolis 500. It was the first Indy title for Hall. Today in history. Today's Thursday, May 28, the 149th day of 2020. There are 217 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On May 28, 1912, the Senate Commerce Committee issued its report on the Titanic disaster that cited a state of absolute unpreparedness, improperly tested safety equipment, and an indifference to danger as some of the causes of an unnecessary tragedy. On this date, in 1959, the U.S. Army launched Able, a rhesus monkey, and Baker, a squirrel monkey, aboard a Jupiter missile for a suborbital flight, which both primates survived. In 1987, to the embarrassment of Soviet officials, Matthias Rust, a young West German pilot, landed a private plane in Moscow's Red Square without authorization. Rust was freed by the Soviets the following year. Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, May 27, 2020. Health and wellness. Extra sales tax could mean $28 million annually for MCHD. Russell Myers, Midland Health. Voting information. Midland County Hospital District sales tax election is set for July 14. Early voting begins June 29. For details on voting locations and schedule, go to co.midland.tx.us. Midland County Hospital District provides more than $40 million per year in support of a wide variety of community health care services beyond the operation of Midland Memorial Hospital. These services are essential to the community's health and for many years have been fully funded by federal Medicaid supplemental payments. These payments are projected to decline by $23 million in fiscal year 2021, with annual cuts reaching $38.4 million by fiscal year 2024. To replace the lost federal funding, MCHD has called for an election on July 14 to levy a tax on the sale of taxable items within the district at a rate not to exceed 0.25% of the sales price of a taxable item sold in Midland County. Should voters approve the ballot item, sales tax collections could provide a projected $28 million per year for the hospital district to use for community health care services funding. For the next few weeks, this space will feature vital community health care programs funded by MCHD, TTU-HSC graduate medical education programs. The process of preparing new medical school graduates to practice in a particular specialty is known as graduate medical education. As a general rule, GME programs are funded by the hospitals in which the residents do most of their training. For Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in the Permian Basin, those programs are split between Medical Center Health System in Odessa and Midland Memorial Hospital. Midland County Hospital District provides partial support for 35 faculty and 53 residents through this program. Financial support for these programs costs MCHD $4.8 million annually. In Midland, TTU-HSC trains residents in internal medicine, obstetrics and gynecology, and psychiatry. M residents are a vital part of the hospital team, caring for 70% or more of the hospital's inpatients. OBGYN residents and faculty physicians are available around the clock to care for the labor and delivery patients who come to the hospital with little or no prenatal care, our highest-risk population. Psychiatry, TTU-HSC's newest program, offers ready access to mental health services that have long been underrepresented in Midland. Beginning this year, a new family medicine program expansion will be established in Midland. Initially funded by generous grant from the Permian Strategic Partnership, the cost of the family medicine program will shift to MCHD beginning with its fourth year of operation in 2023. TTHUSC graduate medical education programs provide vital health care services to a vast range of patients in Midland, while training the next generation of primary care and specialty physicians to serve our region. MCHD has proposed a 0.25% sales tax to replace lost federal funding and assure our ability to maintain this vital community health care service. Russell Myers is President and CEO of Midland Health. Midlander joins Navy to further nursing career by Alan Nunn, U.S. Navy Public Affairs. Seaman recruit Jabnaya Ashley, who is from Midland, recently graduated as the top sailor from Great Lakes Recruit Training Command and earned the Military Excellence Award. Ashley said she joined the Navy to further her nursing career and to help others. "I wanted to learn from the best and decided that the Navy was a perfect fit," Ashley said. "I wanted to learn in-depth training in emergency medicine and have the opportunity to travel to countries to help those who most need it." Ashley, 25, was homeschooled in her native Mexico and earned her GED before moving to the United States in 2018. She attended Durham Technical Community College in Durham, North Carolina, while pursuing a nursing degree. Ashley also lived in Israel, where she studied Hebrew, trained in jiu-jitsu, and became a certified emergency medical technician. Ashley is fluent in Spanish and Hebrew. Ashley said she was surprised and honored to be selected for the U.S. Navy's Military Excellence Award, which is presented to the number one recruit of their graduating training group. "I believe that striving to be the best at any task, no matter how insignificant it seems, is essential to excelling in the bigger, more important things," Ashley said. "That is the way I have tried living my life, and without expecting it, I was rewarded. All the hard work I put in the months before coming to boot camp, and while in boot camp, did not go unnoticed." This award is also proof of the dedication of the RDCs, Recruit Division Commanders, have put in during the past several weeks. Their guidance and discipline have helped me get to where I am now. Ashley said the toughest part of boot camp was making the transition from civilian to a trained sailor. "It was hard going from being a self-sufficient adult in the civilian world to being a recruit who had to be led in everyday actions. Helping other recruits and staying busy helped me work through it." Ashley, who is a hospital corpsman, is continuing her training in San Antonio. Hospital corpsmen assist medical and dental professionals. Alan Nunn is with the U.S. Navy's Recruit Training Command Public Affairs. Meditation, prayer, can relieve stress, anxiety. Eliana Brito, Samaritan Counseling Center. Contact us. To make an appointment at Samaritan Counseling Center, call 563-4144. We all encounter struggles and times in our lives that may be difficult to handle. There are coping strategies that may be helpful in keeping you mentally healthy and making these times more manageable. Relaxation techniques, such as deep breathing and listening to calm music, can help ease anxiety and help relax you. Mindfulness allows you to ground yourself and be in the present moment to help give clarity and decrease stress. Meditation or prayer can also be a very powerful part of coping and alleviating negative thoughts and emotions. It is also important to practice self-care. We often forget to take care of our basic needs while dealing with difficult situations. Self-care can include eating nutritious foods, sleeping well, making time for yourself, exercising, taking care of your hygiene, and staying connected with others. Having a support system is crucial for our mental health, and therefore, it is important to reach out to others for emotional support, especially during these difficult times.
Are ED injections safe? Dear Dr. Roach, I am 89 years old, and for several years I have been using an injection of Trimix provided by a compounding pharmacy to help with erections. Can this be harmful to my penis with long-term injections? Or are there any other negative effects from the prescription? I have had several prostate procedures in my younger years, and ejaculation is only internal. DT. Answer. Although the most common treatment for male erectile dysfunction is oral medication, like sildenafil, Viagra, it is only about 60% effective. One additional treatment prescribed by urologists is injection medicine. The man injects it himself directly into the penis. The medicine, approved by the Food and Drug Administration, is alprostadil, and it is effective 90% of the time. Trumix is a non-FDA-approved mixture of alprostadil, phentolamine, and papaverine. It is commonly used, even though it's not clear it is any better than alprostadil alone. Compounded medications always have a small increased risk of infection compared with manufactured. Any injected drug into the penis may cause priapism, an erection lasting more than 6 hours, which is a medical emergency. Injections may cause a type of scarring called a penile plaque. However, if you have been injecting for several years, you are not likely to develop these problems as long as you continue to use careful technique. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 28th, 2020, etc. Wife can't shake distrust of husband. Dear Abby, my husband and I are 58 and getting ready to celebrate our first wedding anniversary. We knew each other in college, but were just friends back then. After college, we married others and raised children. We stayed married to our spouses for close to 30 years. We reconnected 8 years ago, started an affair, and divorced our partners. Neither of us is proud of this. My adult children have accepted my husband. His refused to accept me, and only one of them has a relationship with him. He was out of town recently, and I caught him in a lie about having invited a female former colleague to lunch with him. I was shocked and hurt because this is how our relationship started. He has apologized, but I can't get over the fact he lied to me, and it has caused a rift between us. He has always been honest with me, so I wonder why he lied about this woman. I know I'm in no position to judge others. I can't afford counseling, and we don't belong to a church for spiritual help. I suffer from depression and anxiety. I am under the care of a doctor and take medication, but cannot shake the sadness. How can I ever trust my husband again? Hurting heart in the mountains. Dear Hurting Heart, In light of the way your affair with your husband began, he may have lied because he was afraid of upsetting you. A way to start this very necessary conversation would be to tell him how shaken you are that he wasn't truthful and try to get him to explain why he thought he had to lie. You should also ask if he thinks there is anything awry in your marriage. If he tells you nothing is wrong and there is nothing he would change, believe him. However, if after that you are still feeling insecure, ask the doctor who is treating your depression and anxiety to suggest some low-cost mental health counseling services in your community. Dear Abby, I need your advice about a problem I'm facing with a man I've been dating almost 4 years. When I met Jeff, he had two older Yorkshire Terriers. Both were very territorial and relieved themselves in the house. I told him I was concerned about moving in with him because of his out-of-control dogs, and he understood. They were older dogs, and I knew one day they would pass, so I waited patiently. Then Jeff's neighbor passed away, leaving a dog. He adopted that dog, and it has become a bigger issue than the first two. The new dog is very aggressive. It tries to bite me and won't let me into certain rooms in the house. I expressed my concern to Jeff, but nothing has been done. We are currently engaged, but living separately. I told Jeff that we need to live together before getting married, so I gave him an ultimatum. Try to find a home for the new dog, and I'll move in. That was 2 years ago, and nothing has been done. At this point, I suspect that he adopted the third dog without me knowing in order to prevent me from moving in. I feel like he chose the new dog over me. What do I do? Overlooked human in California. Dear overlooked human, listen to your intuition and accept that where you are concerned, Jeff has a commitment problem. If he wanted you to live with him, he would not have taken in an aggressive animal. Without saying it in words, he is sending you a strong message. From where I sit, you may have devoted enough time to a romance that's going nowhere. Give Jeff a choice. Kennel train the dog, or the romance is over. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren. Write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Gemini and a moon in Leo. Happy birthday for Thursday, May 28, 2020. Individual and creative you needs to finish your main project this year and not get discouraged. You are a trailblazer and must have faith in your abilities. After some changes with finances, you succeed with ease after October. If single, secrecy about your inner feelings can be off-putting to someone you like very much. If attached, you can expect great happiness if you let yourself worry less. Aquarius must be allowed their eccentricity. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 4 stars. It is a highly creative day. Leisure hours are rich and productive. You experience a change of heart about a loved one or accept that someone you care for is a bit preoccupied. Be adventurous and do not take life too seriously. Tonight, up late. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 3 stars. A stable, familiar environment is especially nurturing today. Postpone real estate transactions or any changes in living arrangements. It is important to balance career demands with family life. Be patient, as the stress will lessen by month's end. Tonight, a good night's sleep. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 5 stars. You can talk through problems and make good decisions today. Logic and reason rule. A neighbor becomes a better friend. Write emails, make calls, and initiate conversations. There is a grace and elegance to all communications. Tonight, your ideas will be well received. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. Your income might be less steady, but this can provide a new opportunity. Be flexible about learning a new job skill. Being aware of the latest developments in your field will assure success and security. Tonight, investigate financial decisions and commitments carefully. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Your brilliance and talents are in evidence, and you win support. It is a good day for new beginnings. You might recall a past life as an explorer or pioneer. You say the right thing and create your own opportunities. Tonight, as you like it. Virgo, August 23 through September 22, 2 stars. Today brings hidden information to the fore when most needed. Be cautious about expressing love and devotion too overtly. Wilderness areas add to your serenity and strengthen you. Try to get out in nature when you can. Tonight, meditate in a long, calming bath. Libra, September 23 through October 22, 5 stars. A friend makes a helpful recommendation. You will appreciate contacts with groups and organizations. Ask for advice and favors. You will be pleasantly surprised, receiving more than expected. Tonight, friends are very supportive. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. An old phase of your career might come to a close. Be adventurous and flexible. Humor and an insistence on clarity help. Your image and reputation help you achieve a goal. Take special care with grooming and your appearance. Tonight, early bedtime. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. In-laws become closer, and you discover more about them. You might crusade for a worthwhile cause. A competitive, enthusiastic attitude carries you toward attainment. You enjoy the food, music, and art of faraway lands. Tonight, you have fun with virtual overseas travel. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 3 stars. Your freedom will be important today. Use care with purchases made on credit. Do not let others tempt you to overstep your budget, and all will be well. Listen to what your heart and instincts tell you. Tonight, you are uplifted by a mystery. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. A partnership becomes more intense and committed. Be aware of how your deepest relationships are impacting you. A business contact offers an unusual opportunity that you should consider carefully. It is a good day to make suggestions and arrange interviews. Tonight, dinner with loved ones. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Health is a focus today. Release stress and make your work environment more wholesome. This is not the time to adopt a new pet. It could be aggressive or hard to care for. Tonight, you realize a goal through sheer willpower. Born today, athlete Jim Thorpe, 1887, actress Carol Baker, 1931, singer Gladys Knight, 1944.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.